glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Just want to take a moment and welcome everybody out today. We also want to welcome everybody that's joining us online today. We are so thankful for you. We appreciate you. We have a great, great service planned ahead. We want to release all of our high school, junior high. We're releasing them. You can go out with Alex and have service out there in the youth room. Amen. Praise God. I am really excited about today. We had a great service this morning, 8:30. We have a very special presentation for you today. And I need to say a couple things first to kind of set the stage here, because this is so important that you get this. First of all, this church really does have a heart for missions. Not only do we reach around the world in our giving and our ministry, we reach this city. We do believe in the Great Commission, can you say amen, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's something that this church has done for literally decades. We've been doing that, and we've sent people, we support missions. One of those missions that we support is something that has been very, very close to my heart, Samaritan Aviation. Samaritan Aviation has, we've actually been supporting Samaritan Aviation for about 13 years now, and we have watched this grow. Recently, my wife and I were at a meeting, an advisory board meeting in California, and we were there. I'm part of the advisory board, and just seeing all that God is doing, and I had invited Mark Palm to come and to share with the congregation, because I really believe it's important that you see where your giving goes, because they are truly making a difference in the world. They're making a difference in Papua New Guinea. I can't say that really well, so I like saying PNG. It makes me sound kind of official too. But anyway, they really do a great job. Mark's gonna come, he's gonna share with us. Now listen, this organization, They do exactly the New Testament model. And you say, what do you mean by that? Jesus fed people physically, and he fed them spiritually. He met physical needs, and he met spiritual needs. And I can tell you, as you listen to the stories that you're going to hear today, as you're encouraged and see what God's doing, I guarantee you it's going to stir you this morning. So let's give a great big hand to Mark Palm as he comes to the stage. Welcome him. Amen. Appreciate you, Mark. God bless you, brother.
Good morning, Ogara. You bless the Barada. We have a master Kamla. Stop one time. Low two blow you. Now, out him name. Now, up him name. La Papa God. I want to say in English, it's great to be in your church today as we praise God and give him the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for that amazing worship time. And it's so good to be here. As the pastor, John mentioned, 13 years. And you could see this photo. When you guys, as a church, first started supporting Samaritan Aviation, it was my wife and I and our three kids. My wife is here, Kirsten. It's great to have her with us. But this is the team in New Guinea right now. And so I just want to say on behalf of them, our board, our staff in Phoenix, Dallin, our operations manager, is here today as well. Brian and Mary send their greetings. They couldn't make it this weekend. But this church has been a vital part of Samaritan Aviation's support and prayer over the years. And my wife and I have talked many times over the years. I've spoken at many churches, but Kingman is always our favorite. You guys have welcomed us. The excitement you have for missions is contagious, even for missionaries. And so it's so great to be here with you guys again and just give you a quick update. I hope you understand when I'm finished what your church is doing for missions on another part of the world and what you're doing as a church to share God's love in a tangible way and have a moment to share Jesus. I want to tell you a quick story. A few months ago, I filled up the airplane with medical supplies. I was over in Wewak, Papua New Guinea, and there was a village. It's about 3 days away from the nearest hospital, and so we were delivering medical supplies out to this little aid post. So we had some basic supplies, antibiotics, anti-malarials, saline solution, things like that. So I load the plane up, and I get about 25 minutes away from WEWAC. I'm about 3,000 feet, just past the Sepik River, and I get a text message. And we have this ability to communicate via satellite in the airplane now to our iPhones, and I get this message, and it simply says, snake bite, Chambri Lakes, 10 years old. Can you help? I look over where I was at. Literally, that village was about 3 minutes from where I was when I got that text. And I dive down, turn the plane quickly, dive down, land on the water, and they bring this little boy, Junior, to me. And, you know, in New Guinea, we have the death adder snake, which is what bit Junior. And you have about 8 hours to live if you're an adult. And if you're a kid, it's 1 to 2 hours, and depending on how the size and of your body and all of those things. And so they bring this little boy, and I can see as the canoe comes up, I can see right away that he's having symptoms. And his eyes are rolled back. He's foaming at the mouth. He's delirious. And I've been doing this a while, and so I know the signs, and I could tell he doesn't have a long time to live. So I unload the medical supplies. I put the stretcher out, load Junior in the plane, start the plane, take off from the water. And that begins the longest 25 minutes of my life. The plane can only go so fast, and you have to get all the way back to WEWAC, where the only hospital is, where there's anti-venom. So I land, we rush Junior in the ambulance that we have, rush him to the hospital, and I have to leave to go back and do another flight. And so I go, someone during the day has sent me a little video of the nurse actually giving him anti-venom, so I know he's getting the treatment that he needs. And we have a team that goes into the hospital every day, and so the next morning our team went in to find Junior, and he's gone. And I know, I've been shown that he's getting anti-venom, and I said, well, where is he? And they said, we don't know. And did some more research, found out he'd been discharged, that he had recovered, but I couldn't find him, and I wanted to go say hi to Junior. I wanted to hang out with him. I wanted to pray with him, tell him about Jesus, and couldn't find him. I heard he was in town somewhere, so we got the word out, couldn't find him. Finally, a week goes by, and I kind of give up. 2 weeks goes by, and it's Sunday afternoon, and I decide, look, I want to go see if Junior made it. I want to see where he lives. I want to see if I can meet his family, and so I got in the airplane, and I flew out Sunday afternoon. I land on this one lake I've never been to before, and they said, oh, Junior lives on the other side of this little mountain. Take off again, go circle around the mountain, and there's another little pond at this point. So I go down, and I look at the water several times flying down just to see if I can land, and more importantly, to see if I can take off again after I land. And I decide, okay, I can make it out, and I land the plane. There's this village there, like next to the hills, and big trees in the water. It's high water at this point. The wind's blowing, and all of these boats, canoes. When I say boats, I mean hand cut out canoes with an axe. And they start surrounding the airplane. Kids are jumping in the water. And I yell out to somebody. I stand out on the float of the plane, and I say, "Is Junior here?" Well, what I didn't know was there's a boat that had pulled up next to the airplane. And one guy says, "Junior is standing right next to you." And I turn, and there he is. And I'll tell you, he looked a little different this time when I saw him. I didn't actually recognize him at first. And I was able to put a headset on his head and talk to him. And then it wasn't just him. His mom was standing in the canoe. And so I was able to stand with her and meet his mom. Found out he's one of 6 kids. 4 girls and 2 boys, and I had a chance to just talk to his mom about Jesus, pray with her, and see the village, see where he's from, and what an amazing moment for me to stand with a mother and a little 10-year-old boy who was alive because a Samaritan Aviation was there to save him, and so grateful I'm so grateful for that moment that God has gave me. And, you know, as one of the things I noticed was all the kids had mud on their faces. And I was, you know, in New Guinea, it's you put mud on your face if you're celebrating something, or you put mud on your face if you're mourning something. And so I asked one of the kids, I said, why are you guys have mud on your faces? And he said, well, because we killed three crocodiles in the little lake that you landed in last night. And today we're celebrating and having a big feast. I got back in the plane at that moment just to get out of the way. But I can tell you, as I'm drifting back, the wind was pulling me back to the end of the lake to take off. I just thought, if we hadn't been there to pick up Junior, that whole village would have had mud on their faces because they were mourning his death. And instead, they were celebrating killing crocodiles and having a feast. And what a moment, as you could see the difference that Samaritan Aviation made in that village for that family and for that mother and that community. And that's what Samaritan is doing on a regular basis. How many of you guys know where Papua New Guinea is? Not a very good hand raise there. Papua New Guinea is in the South Pacific. It's north of Australia. It's the second largest island in the world, actually. On one half, which is Papua New Guinea, the other half is West Papua. But the country of Papua New Guinea, 840 languages spoken just on that right side there, the part that's yellow. Over 12 million people live there. And in the area that we serve, we're serving 600,000 people that live on this remote river. And they're 1 to 3 days away. And this next slide will show you. We serve 120 villages along this river now. Access for medical supplies to about 40 different aid posts. We also do medevac 7 days a week. We have disaster relief. Polio came back a few years ago. So vaccinations, measles are there, whooping cough, cholera outbreaks, any other type of medical sickness, we are there to respond, and we're on call for that. And not only that, but as I mentioned earlier, it's about sharing Jesus. And our goal as an organization is to have one moment. All the other things we do is for that one moment where we can share a clear gospel message to someone that we save. And we have a team that goes in every day. There's four full-time PNG staff that we've discipled now. They go in every day. Pray with patients, feed them. If you can imagine coming from a village, you've never seen electricity, you've never seen a car, you've never seen the ocean, and getting in an airplane. And now you're in town, you're in a hospital, and you have nothing. And that's where we come in, and we just love on them as Jesus loves us and share a clear gospel message with them. And one of the things that we introduced last year, which is really exciting, is these solar-powered audio Bibles. And it's a Bible in their language. And I want you to hear, I won't tell you the scripture reference yet until afterwards, but I want you to hear what a scripture sounds like from that audio Bible.
God igat wampela pikinin ita sol istap. Tasol God ilaikim tumas ol gataman meri bilong ground, olsem na emi give him dispela wampela pikinin ilong ol. Em imekim olsem, Belong all get a man Mary, I believe long em, all ino can lose, no God. By all I kiss him life is up good all time.
Can you guess what scripture that's from? That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternity. And what an amazing thing to have the scripture in your own language. I was thinking even yesterday as I was flying over here, what would it be like if we couldn't hear, if we couldn't read? A lot of the Papua New Guinean villagers have a second grade education. A lot of them can't read. And so to have the Bible in their language that they can hear. Imagine if we couldn't hear the Bible, we didn't have it in English, and we had to have Pastor John to interpret it for us in a different language, right? That was the old days. But for us to be able to take the scripture and give it to them, and the whole Bible in this little solar-powered unit, and it's not just the Bible. There's Bible training and teaching. There's some some worship songs, and it's just an amazing tool. And we gave out over 400 of those last year to these villagers, and it's great to see them. We go into the hospital, and there'll be 10 people crowded around a patient, and they're all listening to the audio Bible in their language, hearing God's word, God's living word in their language. We also are able to give out illustrated story Bibles and talk pisin, so kind of picture Bibles in their language, which makes it easier for them to understand it, and they can see it visually and read the words and talk pisin. And so that's another thing that we're giving out to patients. And we're seeing the seed planted. We're seeing it grow. People are accepting Jesus. And this is a picture of someone in the hospital we gave an audio Bible to. They gave it to somebody else. And now we walk around and now we'll hear the Bible in different parts of the hospital as different patients are listening to that and reading or hearing the scripture in their language. And that's an amazing thing. And that's what your church is doing. You're allowing us to give God's word into these people's hands so that they can hear a clear gospel message. So thank you for what you're doing. Quick update too, you guys, I mentioned last time I was here, it was a couple years ago, about expansion plans. Papua New Guinea, as I mentioned, is very large. 14,000 foot mountains are across the middle of this island, and we're on the north side right now, which is the East Sepik province. And we've been invited to come down to the south side, to the Gulf province. And the Gulf province is an interesting place. It's all swamp and rivers. Guess what works in swamps and rivers? Float planes. And we're the only float planes in the country. And as we hear stories, I had a chance to go. Karama is the far right side. There's a little red cross there. And I had a chance to go meet with the people in charge of the hospital there, provincial government people, rural health people, and had a chance to sit with them in the office and ask them, where are they reaching as a government? And so I put this map up on the wall in the office there, and I said, can you draw a circle around how far out west you're going? This province is 150 miles wide, to give you some perspective. And they drew a little circle that went about 30 miles from the capital, which is Karama. And I looked at that and I said, well, what about the people of Masusu who are out 120 miles from you guys? What happens to them when they have a breech birth? What happens to them when they get bit by a snake? What happens to them when they have any other type of medical emergency? And I'll never forget what the lady in charge of rural health said to me. She said, well, they're just used to dying. I don't know about you, but I don't accept the fact that people can be used to dying. And I felt God speak to me in that moment. And he said, this is where I want Samaritan Aviation to go next. And that's where we're going. Where we have a partnership with the hospital, and I'm going to show you a quick video, but 50 miles away from the nearest road, out in the swamps, serving people where they're at, the most remote and forgotten people in the world. Here's a quick video. I'll give you a glimpse. I'm here in Gulf Province at Kapuna Hospital. I'm with Barb Calvert. And Barb, how long have you guys and your family been in this area of the Gulf Province?
I first came up in 1979, and so I've been here living since 1981.
So I would guess you understand the challenges of what the people are dealing with here in these remote communities. So what would it mean for this area to have a plane and have Samaritan Aviation serving these people?
I think it's really, really valuable because, transport is a big problem. Around here, it's all river transport. So sometimes, we've got remote villages, they pedal for days, and it's really, really hard. So it's just amazing having a plane,
We're really excited. Kapuna Hospital has invited us officially to come here and partner with them, as well as the Gulf Province. The need is still so great here. They've got an amazing facility, but how do we get patients to get here is the question. And that's really what Samaritan is here to answer that question and say, yes, we can get those patients in quickly when there's emergencies. And we can also get nurses out for patrols. There's a discipleship training school here. We want to be able to get God's word out to these remote communities as well, and be able to use a tool that God's given us, a seaplane, will allow us to do that quickly and efficiently. And so we're really excited as we continue to talk, work through agreements, and what it looks like as we partner together in the years to come.
A hospital 50 miles from the nearest road, a discipleship training school, a community health worker school that's there. What an amazing facility. And they have one issue. They can't get patients to there quickly. I met with a family while I was there a few months ago, and they told me they paddled 4 days to get to that hospital. 4 days. So to have a float plane that can respond quickly, that same person that paddled 4 days, it would have taken us 20 minutes in a float plane to get them and bring them back. Just a few months ago, we were there and we did our first medical patrol ever. Samaritan Aviation in the Gulf Province. And we're so excited. We've signed an agreement with the National Department of Health, with the Gulf Provincial Government, with Kapuna Hospital. And we're going just in a few weeks. My wife and I are getting on a plane back to New Guinea, and we'll be doing the next patrol, medical patrol, for these remote communities out in the Gulf Province. So God's doing amazing things. It's happening. The expansion is happening. One of the things you could see, these planes are up on a little dock here, which is there for a barge that comes in once a month for supplies. But we have to go and create a place for the airplanes to be based. So we have to base a floating dock on this river. It rises and falls up to 9 feet a day. There's no cranes. If you're a builder and you're trying to put poles in the ground for this thing, we have to shoot it in with a jet pump. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to do it. But we're going to be shipping over a whole docking system in the next few months. And in October, we're going to be installing it so that we can base planes there full time. They've given us some property for us to build houses on for our staff as well. And so God's doing amazing things on the Gulf side. We'll be able to offer hope and access to a place that's never had it before. Never had it before. And just recently, I was over there and I received an $800,000 check from the governor of the Gulf Province for Samaritan Aviation to expand our operations in their province. Another amazing God moment in the history of Samaritan Aviation. Want to give you a quick update, too, on our, we have property in WEWAC now that we've purchased, and we recently did a land-breaking ceremony. We even had gold shovels, and we broke ground, and we're excited. We're going to be building 8 houses and a training center here so we can do discipleship training with the Nationals and have a place for our staff. We have 6 families living on a half an acre. And most of our families, for one reason or another, have 4 to 5 kids. So 20 kids, 6 families, half an acre. Are you guys ready to sign up and go? We need space. And that's what this land's going to allow us to do, is give us the space for the families so that we can have areas for the kids to play. We might even get a pickleball court in there if they listen to me as well. But another awesome thing, we just got our 3rd airplane in New Guinea. 3rd airplane in New Guinea. And so now we have 3, we call it a fleet. We have the Samaritan fleet now. And God has also provided a 4th airplane that we just purchased. And it's getting retrofitted in Michigan right now. And I hope to have it out here on your airport next year when we come through. But God's doing amazing, amazing things at Samaritan Aviation. We have a new pilot family arriving in the next 3 weeks as well in New Guinea. We have 3 pilots over there now. This will be another pilot family. We have a medical director. just amazing. Pastor John just commissioned this family at our annual meeting in San Diego just a few weeks ago to go and to serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus in Papua New Guinea. Another thing I just want to tell you, 2023, we had 40% more flights last year than we've ever had before. God's given us the capacity now. The need's always been there. Now we have the capacity to reach more communities and reach more people. And what that means more audio Bibles being given out. That means more lives being saved. And it means more ministry that's happening than ever before in Papua New Guinea. I want to tell you about a quick story. It's from the lens of our pilot, Nick. And I'm just going to read this story to you. He wrote this for me, and I just want to read it to you. I think it'll give you a picture of what we do on a regular basis. On October 4th, we picked up Sharon from Kambaramba, a remote village along the Sepik River. Our medical director, Chris Cook, got the call that she was a high-risk pregnancy and not progressing after a couple of days. Keep in mind, you're in a village. There's no air conditioning. You're in a bush house on stilts over the water. 2 days of labor, those of you who are mothers in here, if you can imagine. There's no Advil. She had a high-risk pregnancy and not progressing after a couple of days. I flew out with Nurse Ando, who's one of my favorite midwives and who loves his job. When we got there, Ando went to work immediately. He helped Sharon to get to a more comfortable position, and he tried to adjust the baby's position in her belly. Ando looked at me and smiled, and he said, "She's going to have this baby soon." I asked, "Just how soon is that? Should we just find a place and pull the plane over to the side of the river and let her deliver here?" He said, "No, since she has lost her previous baby on delivery, we needed to get her to the hospital as quick as we can." We got everyone situated. I prayed for Sharon and her baby, closed the doors, and we took off from the water towards the hospital. About midway through the flight, I heard some commotion in the back, and Ando was pretty excited. I grabbed my phone and started recording while flying, and this is what I saw. A baby had just been born in the back of the plane. We landed at the airport and transported her to the hospital. Sharon and her baby were checked out and determined to be healthy. Praise God. The next day, Rob, our director of maintenance, went to the hospital to visit patients and found Sharon and her baby leaving the hospital after being discharged. Wanted to give you a couple fun facts from this flight. It turns out they named this little baby Nick after the pilot who flew her in. She's in her mid-20s, and she had been our patient two other times. The first time she flew with us was in 2017 for a breech birth. It was her first baby. She ended up having a C-section, and the baby died. But she lived. The next time we flew her was her second baby in 2019. She had another high-risk pregnancy. She had a C-section this time and her second baby and delivered a healthy boy. This was her third flight where she delivered in the airplane with another healthy boy. Praise God for that. Another thing was Sharon's dad is a pastor from the village of Kambaramba. And he had been our pilot Nick's language helper back in 2019 when Nick first moved to Papua New Guinea. And so what a great thing that Nick, her dad, had taught Nick, the pilot, how to speak Tok'pisin. And then 4 years later, now Nick was saving his daughter's life and his grandson. And what an amazing thing that we get to do. Every day this is happening. Every day people are being saved. Every day people are hearing the clear gospel message of Jesus. And it's about now and for eternity. Amen. And I want to encourage you guys. We have these magnets in the back. And I always put one of these on my refrigerator. But I would love for you to grab one of these. Stick it on your refrigerator because we need your prayers. It's dangerous over there. It's the rivers are dangerous. The weather's dangerous. There's sickness. It's lonely. You're a long ways from home and family. And our families could really use your prayers. And so if you haven't had a chance, there's a couple different magnets. We'd love to have you grab those in the back. Put those on your fridge. You can also sign up to get our mailing list. Get on our mailing list. If you're not getting an email every month or a paper newsletter to your door, we'd love to have you be able to keep up to date on what we're doing as an organization so you can know how to pray for us and how to stand in the gap for us from Kingman. Because we're all in this together. I believe there's senders and then there's those who are being sent. You guys are sending us to reach those people for Jesus. We also have some new t-shirts. I know you guys are big fans of our swag. And we'd love to have you keep supporting us and representing Samaritan Aviation in this town. And I've just got a quick video as I close. But thank you again, guys. God bless you.
I can't tell you how much this moves me. When you think of ministry, this is the real deal. This is going where people have no hope. Unless God shows up, there is no hope. Unless Jesus is there to answer the prayer, there is no hope. But you know what? The wonderful thing about the Great Commission is that God uses us to answer prayer. We are the ones that put hands and feet and ultimately airplanes into service in ways that minister to people's needs physically, where there is great challenge, but also spiritually. And this is why I'm a part of this organization, and this is why our church supports this. And we support many organizations throughout the world. But this is what we're doing because it's important that we are involved in the Great Commission, because it's why we're here. Can you say amen? We're not here just because we want a religious club. We're here to change the world for Jesus. And I could tell you that we may not be able to reach everybody, but I could tell you that that woman, Sharon, and little baby Nick, their lives are forever changed. It matters to them. Amen. And so I'm going to ask Kirsten if she would come, and my wife. Because what I feel like we need to do right now is I feel like as a congregation, we need to join together. And we need to lift up them personally as a couple. Mark is the co-founder of Samaritan Aviation. He's also the CEO or the head of it. And he runs all of the ministry. He is the brainchild behind it, and it's his vision. But you know what? It really is the heart of God. It really is the heart of God, and they need our help. They need our prayers. They need wisdom. They need direction. They need provision. They need protection. And we get to be a part of that. We are co-laborers with them. And some of us may never be able to get to go anywhere. We may never be able to go overseas. We may never be on a mission field. But we can send them. And we can be a part. You know, the Bible teaches us that the reward that goes to the ones that go is the same as the ones that stay. Because we sent them. We stayed by the stuff. We made sure that we were holding the rope. They hazard their lives for Jesus, and we support it. Can you say amen? And so I just think we need, as a church, we need to join together. Would you stretch your hands towards them? And let's just take a moment and pray over them. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we lay hands on Mark and Kirsten. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for the vision that you've given them. We thank you for the passion that they have for this country, for these people. And Father, we thank you that they represent us in a world, in a place that many have forgotten about. And Father, I pray, God, that you would meet every financial need. I pray, Father, for unusually large donations. I pray, God, that favor, God, would be poured out, God, meeting every need, God, that comes their way. God, I pray that you protect them. I pray that you give them wisdom and direction. Father, that in their own lives, in their personal lives, God, that you would meet their personal needs with their home and their family, God, that your hand would remain upon them. And Father, that we would see and hear of the miracles and the glory of God that's being poured out in PNG. And Father, we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give them a great big hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I was telling Mark, being between services, I was telling Mark, I said, you know, I really need to go over there with you. I said, I don't know what I would do. And you know what he did? He looked at me and says, well, you got to go on a diet because we don't have a big enough plan. No, he didn't. He did say that. I have had people say we need a bigger plane, so, but that's not true. But you know what? Remember them in your prayers. And remember, when you go out, it does help support them to buy T-shirts and different things and remember them. That's probably the biggest thing, is that because after today, they're going to go, and we need to remember them. And when we see that T-shirt or that magnet or that newsletter, we remember to pray and say, you know what, God, they're out there doing a work for Jesus. Amen? Yeah. God bless you. Why don't you stand to your feet, and we're going to release you today. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.